भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 16, text number 2 and 3. I don't know what's the arrangement, but sometimes we have the verse, sometimes we don't. So I guess the speaker, maybe. So, text number 2. Long verse.
Tatrapi priyavrata ratta charana parikatthai saptave saptasindava upakalpita jatatasya saptadvipa vishesha vikalpastvaya bhagavan kalu suchitta ethat evakilam aham manato lakshanatas chasarvam.
Translation. My dear Lord, the rolling wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot created seven ditches in which the seven oceans came into existence. Because of these seven oceans, Bhumandala is divided into seven islands. You have given a very general description of their measurement, names and characteristics. Now I wish to know of them in detail. Kindly fulfill my desire. Text number 3.
Bhagavato gunamaye ishtula rupa aveshitam manohi agunapi shukshma tama adma yotishi pare brahmani bhagavati vasudevakye shamam aveshitum tat hutai gunorarshi anubarnayitum iti.
Translation. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. Oh my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived. I read on my own. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His external feature made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who in His subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. Oh my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Pariksit had already been advised by his spiritual master, Sukadev Goswami, to think of the universal form of the Lord. And therefore, following the advice of his spiritual master, he continuously thought of that form. The universal form is certainly material, but because everything is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately nothing is material. Therefore, Pariksit Maharaj's mind was saturated with the spiritual consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Prapanchikataya Bhudyam Hari Sambandivastuna Mamukshuvi Parityago Vairagyam Falgukaityate. Everything, even that which is material, is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur translates this verse as follows. Hari sevaya yatahaya anukula visaya baliya tahara tyage haya buddha. One should not give up anything connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking it is material or enjoyable for the material senses. Prabhupada continues, even the senses when purified are spiritual. Even the senses when purified are spiritual. When Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the Lord, his mind was certainly situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, although he might not have had any reason to be concerned with detailed information of the universe, he was thinking of it in relationship with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, such geographical knowledge was not material, but transcendental. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, Narada Muni said, Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaraha. The entire universe is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from him. Therefore, although Parikshit Maharaj had no need for geographical knowledge of this universe, that knowledge was also spiritual and transcendental because he was thinking of the entire universe as an expansion of the energy of the Lord. In our preaching work also, we deal with so much property and money and so many books bought and sold. But because these dealings all pertain to the Krishna consciousness movement, they should never be considered material. That one is absorbed in thoughts of such management does not mean that he is outside of Krishna consciousness. If one rigidly observes the regulative principle of chanting 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day, his dealings with the material world for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness movement, for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, are not different from the spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Omagyanatimirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha namam vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate jagapataka swaminiti namaha namam vishnu padaya krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swaminiti namaha namaste saraswati devi gauravani pracharine nirvisesha sunyavari. So we're reading fifth canto, and as we heard yesterday in the class, there was a lot of details on cosmology and the universal time. Matai was telling us how one incarnation appeared at this time and that time. I was imagining a big, gigantic clock somewhere and the Lord appearing at scheduled times. So this particular chapter talks about the details of material nature. And I think I was lucky that I was given this verse and the purport, because the other ones I wouldn't have make it. Because there's so much knowledge and so much, I guess, realization that you need to speak on those verses. Not that this purport is any less, but as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in commenting the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes some of the verses are like jewels and one needs to find those jewels. So I think Prabhupada's purports are like that. And of course, every purport of Prabhupada, it's an amazing devotional jewel. As he said, they are my devotional ecstasies. But some of these purports are special, I shall say. For one, Because here Prabhupada is emphasizing the fact that we need to chant 16 rounds, right? Prabhupada doesn't do that often, not in every purport for sure, but not even in many purports. He doesn't even mention it in Bhagavad Gita at all, right? Chanting 16 rounds. He says, in general, chant Hare Krishna. So this purport, he says two things. Chant Hare Krishna and preach. That's, you know, you can tell a classic. That's a classic piece of Prabhupada's preaching. Chant Hare Krishna and preach. Anyway, let's go back to the verse. This verse is basically telling us there's a question here that we need to answer in, I don't know, 40 minutes or so. And the question is, how do we fix our mind in Krishna? That's the general question. That's the first part of the verse. Unfortunately, the verse is not copied, but it would be nice that we have it in Sanskrit or in English, so we keep track of what is that we are discussing. The best thing in a class, that's my experience anyway, is that we discuss something and then we stick to that something, right? Sometimes we may tend to start talking about something and then we end up somewhere else. And there's a lot of information, a lot of realization, I guess, sharing. But ideally, like Srila Prabhupada will do, we'll stick to that point in that verse. Of course, Prabhupada is Acharya, so he can change the rules. But the point of this verse today, this is Maharaj Pariksit. Is this Maharaj Pariksit or Sukadev Goswami? Yeah. Yes, Maharaj Pariksit is asking Sukadev Goswami to describe more in detail what? The universal form. And in general, we may translate that as the material and creation. Right, so the first question is, how can we fix our mind in Krishna? That's the first generic question. And I would like to bring attention to the importance of these questions. You see, spiritual life starts with questions. Actually, human life starts with questions. You cannot be considered a human if you don't ask questions, right? As we often hear Prabhupada explaining, the first question of the human being should be Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Right? Now that you have this human form, now you inquire about spirit. Atato means now. Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have this human form, you have to ask, what is a spirit? What is the self? What is the source of the self? What is the goal of life? If you don't ask questions, then you're not a human. Right? Of course, Srila Prabhupada also explains that animals also ask questions. Right? But what are those questions? Where is food? Right? Where is sex life? Where is shelter? Like that. So questions are there, but at a very basic level. Right? They are not really conscious of that questioning process. So, Srimad Bhagavatam starts with how many questions? I'm just trying to keep you awake. Six questions, yes, yes. Who can remember by heart those questions? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, there are six questions there. Very interesting questions. So, if we want to understand Bhagavatam, let's go back to the basics and let's remember which are those questions. I will leave it up to you. We don't have much time to. I don't want to deviate from the point. So questions are important. Bhagavad Gita also starts with question. What was that question? Who's a student of the Gita here? I'm sure many Bhakti Shastras in the room. What's the first question that Arjuna asks to Krishna? What was that? What was that question? The first question that Arjuna asked Krishna? Jakshaya susthitane sisyaste hamsa imam tom prapanam. Basically, Arjuna asked the question, what is best for me? Right? That's Arjuna's question. And then the whole thing starts. Right? Of course, previously he had asked, who's here to fight with me? He knew that. Prabhupada says he knew that. But just for the sake of, you know, making things clear, then he asked, who's here willing to fight with me, to die and all those things? But the real question, the philosophical question is, what is best for me? So that's Arjuna's starting line, opening line. So questions are important because our questions determine our life. What do we want? Mahatma Prabhu yesterday graced us with his presence in a small program we did with some devotees from Czech Republic that are visiting Mayapur and some other devotees from the community. And he was explaining that according to our motivation, when we chant, that determines our destiny, that determines the quality of our japa, that determines our consciousness. If we are thinking, I want to please Krishna, I want to be totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then that's where we are heading. Maybe we are a little stuck down here in the mud of material desires, but we are heading there. But if we are thinking in a negative way, in a depressive way, I'm so fallen, I'm so useless, what is the point anyway? Okay, I got to chant my japa, I got to put my hand in the bead bag. So that's where we will be, we'll be stuck there. Kind of a spiritual depression sort of thing. So questions, that is the first point. So when we read Bhagavatam, the ideal is that we ask these questions. Srila Prabhupada says in a purport of the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna's questions are opening the path of liberation for us. It's like when you go to a jungle area, I don't know if you had that experience. I remember when we bought the first farm in Ecuador, in South America, and we named it Nueva Mayapur because we wanted to make it a miniature replica of this place. And there was all jungle, so all the devotees had to get machetes, and we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, we were just, you know, chopping, imitating the villagers. Yeah, but we had a lot of fun. So you don't know where you're going, right? We're just chopping. You know, we find a couple of snakes and things and like that. So yeah, you know, you don't know where you're going, but you're just chopping away. So questions are like that you are clearing where am I heading? And as Krishna tells Arjuna, we have to follow in the footsteps of previous devotees, right? So Arjuna, the sages of Naimisharanya, and all these great transcendental personalities, characters of the Bhagavatam, are opening the path for us to advance. So I just wanted to bring this point because that's the beginning of Bhagavatam, questions by the sages, right? Isn't it? That's the first chapter? Yes? No? Yes? Please keep a check on me. So now the question that we have in this verse is how to fix our mind in Krishna, right? This is a standard question, right? But there is a very specific point and very interesting point, I would say, of this question. And the question is how to fix our mind in Krishna when dealing with the material world, right? That's the specific of the question. How to fix the mind in Krishna when dealing with the material world. You see, the Bhagavad Gita has basically three lessons, right? The Bhagavad Gita Krishna teaches us how to deal with ourselves, how to deal with Him, and how to deal with the material world. Those are the three lessons of Bhagavad Gita. So when people ask us, what is Bhagavad Gita all about? Right? I remember many years back, my sister, the younger one, after many years of me being in the movement, and after, when she was even a little thing, I would bring her to the temple, prasadam, and all those things. I don't know, maybe after 20 years or something, she asked me, what is Krishna consciousness? You know? And I remember clearly having this avalanche of thoughts, of ideas, of concepts, of verses, of so many things, that I couldn't hardly answer that question. I couldn't say in a few words, what was Krishna consciousness? You know, it's about, what do you say? So, we need to have things clear. And as the sages of Naimisharanya requested Sutta Goswami, can you explain this in a simple and understandable way? Those are exact words. Simple and understandable way. Check. What was going on? I think Prabhupada sent him. Anyway, so when he came from the program, he reported to Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked him, so what did he say? And then Bhanu Swami said, it was so complicated, no one could understand. So complicated, no one could understand. And the devotees laughed. And Prabhupada explained. He says, yes, that's a technique. They talk so much rubbish, so much nonsense, in a sophisticated way. No one can understand. So everyone thinks, oh, this guy must be higher than me, because I don't understand what he's saying. But he says with so much confidence that, you know, I better, you know, pay my respect and give some dakshin and do whatever he says, get his blessings or whatever. So Prabhupada was like that, giving them. He says, but our process is different, he said. We explain things in such a way that everyone can understand. Everyone. So, this is the point. What is Krishna consciousness? How to deal with ourselves? Big area there. We don't know how to deal with ourselves sometimes. Then how to deal with Krishna? You know? That's the middle section of Bhagavad Gita. And how to deal with the world. Because you see, if we start reading Gita just in one go, you know, you can try that. Less than 10 minutes each chapter. I have done the average time. In the beginning, it's very nice. Because you see, the first thing that Krishna says, the first instruction that Krishna gives in the Gita is, do not lament. He repeats it, I think, 5 or 6 times in second chapter. Do not lament. 5 times, I think. You know, natvam sachitum arhasi. Have you heard Prabhupada saying that? He really relishes when he says that, you know. Natvam sachitum arhasi. Don't lament, he repeats what Krishna says. You see, we're always lamenting. I mean, not always, but from time to time we lament. We go through things and we lament. After 2 or 3 years, something happens, then we lament. So Krishna is saying, don't lament. That's the first thing. Why do not lament? Because you're not the body. You're a spirit soul. So as soon as you... just an example. I used to work in hospitals in Australia. And as soon as you walk in there, everyone is lamenting. Everyone is suffering. Not only the people who are there, but also the friends and relatives and everyone else. Maybe the nurses and doctors, they are used to it. So maybe they're not lamenting. They're just doing their thing. But if you take the concept of the bodily concept out of the equation of all those people in a hospital, then that's it, the problem is gone. I mean, they may be aching, but the understanding that I am not the body immediately relieves that suffering. Right? So when we start reading what Krishna teaches us in the Gita, immediately we can feel that relief. I'm not the body. I'm not the mind. I'm eternal. I cannot be caught. I cannot be bullied, I cannot be killed. So that immediately starts bringing us up. Then chapter 3 teaches us how we work spiritually. Chapter 4, how we learn spiritually. And everything becomes you know, uplifting. Chapter 5, the symptoms of a transcendentalist, right? And so on and so forth. Chapter 6, the mind, how we focus our mind, how meditate, dhyana yoga. Right, that's the first part, the first stairs, set of stairs, we may say. And then in the middle section, Krishna talks about himself. And what is the first thing he talks about? His energy. Right? He talks about his energy in 7th chapter, knowledge of the absolute. And then he starts talking about how you can relate to him, come back to him, and all those things. But the real problem is at the end, because if you know that you are a spirit soul, then you feel good. I'm eternal. Yes. Then you learn that you're part and parcel of Krishna. And this Krishna happens to be a really nice God, not like the ones that we were told before that has a trident and it's waiting for to get you, you know, the day of, what's it called, judgment day and all those things. Yeah, it's a nice, really compassionate God that has so much fun and has come down to also take us back having fun, chanting, dancing, taking prasadam, etc. So until then, the whole, how do you call it, the whole movie, it's quite nice. But then what happens? Then Krishna starts talking about the material world, nature, enjoyed and consciousness. The last section of Bhagavad Gita is basically a blueprint of how we can get out of this material world. I was thinking the other day, I was listening to some lecture from Prabhupada, and it's interesting how often Prabhupada uses this analogy about the prison house. We don't use it that much lately. I haven't heard it anyway. But in Prabhupada's preaching, he emphasizes a lot the fact that we are in the prison house. Yeah, quite a lot. And he talks about the modes, he talks about the suffering. Often, you know, Mahatma Prabhu was saying that in the early days, there was a lot of preaching about you are suffering all the time, you are suffering, you are suffering. You know, he said that, you know, he thought he wasn't suffering, you know, surfing, playing guitar, going to school, having nice friends and enjoying somewhat. But anyway, Prabhupada emphasizes this point that we are suffering. So, we know that we are spirit souls. We know that Krishna exists. We know that we are related. But then, when bhajan class ends, or when the program, morning program ends, and then we are out there facing over our spiritual holiday, we may say, and we have to go back to the Western world, or go back to our jobs, or whatever that we have to go back to. And then when things start going the wrong way, that's when the alert started, you know, coming up. So it's good to know, but it's not enough, Prabhupada said, that you know that you're the soul, aham brahmasmi. It's not enough. It's good to know that we are part and parcels of Krishna. Mamaivam so jivaloke. That's also great. You know, now I know. That's what these beads mean. You know, Prabhupada explained that we use these beads because we are, it's like a dog with an owner. Now, especially in first world countries here, it doesn't apply. In first world countries, yeah, if you have a, what you call, stray dog, yeah, then the, what's it called, the dog pound, yeah, they will come and catch it, and that's like a whole thing, you know, it's a whole lila there. And then people will come and adopt them, rescue them, whatever, it's like a whole trip. But basically what it is that if you have these kuntis, kunti mala, you have an owner. So Krishna is our owner. We're like stray dogs, or we were stray dogs, wagging our tails around the material world, sniffing here and there, you know, doing mischief. And then somehow the devotees found us, right? That's how it works. I mean, if you think about it, the devotees endeavor more to bring you into Krishna consciousness than what you endeavor. That's, just think about that one. So The thing is that when we face trouble in the material world, that's when our faith is tested. That's when the exam time is there. You know, how many times you heard, how many times you repeated, I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul. How many times you chanted Krishna's name, you heard pastimes, and you wished and prayed that you, you know, are someone else, something else, better than what you are, right? And you have all these spiritual emotions. When material nature strikes, that's a time of test, right? Like the storm, remember the storm came the first day, I think was a boat festival. I forgot which day anyway, but storm came. So I think it was the first storm. So what happens is because we are not ready, then the windows start, you know, shattering and the glass can break and things can fall like that. So we're not ready. That's what it is. And Prabhupada's preaching always was emphasizing that point. Be ready. Anytime. Right? Anytime we can go. Parikshit Maharaj didn't have much time. He only had 7 days. You know? Srila Prabhupada used to say, we don't know how much time we have. We may be gone tomorrow. I don't know. I heard one devotee passed away. I don't know the circumstances, but I assume it was a natural death. Today, they announced in Mangalart. Right? So any day we may go. So how long more are we going to wait? I mean, I'm telling this to myself. Don't think that I'm, you know, getting on a trip here. But how much more? You know, we try this, we try that, we fail here, we fail there, and we keep on hoping. You know, like the famous example of the donkey with the carrot. You know, Prabhupada tells this story. That the donkey is there, ass, and they tie the stick and they put a carrot on top, in the front. So the donkey's thinking, I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. And he carries on thinking, yeah, when I get that carrot, then I'm going to be happy. Like that. So anyway, the problem, what I was trying to emphasize, is that when we face material reality, that's when our faith is tested. So, the question is, how can we see Krishna in material nature, right? And Prabhupada explains in the purport, and he quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I believe, is Rupa Goswami, Prapanchika Thaya Budhya, the famous verse about Yukta Vairagya. No, this what it means is that we have to engage everything in Krishna consciousness. But everything means everything. Not that I engage this, but that one, I deal with it separately from Krishna. That's the dupliciousness that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to talk about. Right? The kutinati worm. Like, you know, you have a beautiful apple, and then you have those worms. Have you had that experience? That you bite and then you feel something strange and it happens that there's some worm there. Have you ever had that experience? It's not funny. Right, so the whole thing, it's a spoil basically. Why? Because we allow those material desires to secretly go into that fruit of devotional service and we spoil the whole thing. That's what it is. So, how to change that around, how to transform our vision, how to see that Krishna is behind all those problems, all those dramas that we have to face. Well, basically, we create. We are not victims here. So, simple answer to the point and just trying to follow Prabhupada's line here, by preaching and by chanting Hare Krishna. Right? That's the direct way. I mean, you can try other ways, and who am I to say, you know, no, that's whoever doesn't preach or doesn't chant. I mean, I know nowadays it's a little bit more lenient, the approach. In the old days, at least early 80s or so, you know, if you didn't join, you didn't give up university and this and that and everything, you were not a devotee. Isn't it? Some of us had that experience. It's quite heavy. That was the mood. You know, you have to join the ashram. Men and women. That's it. That was the mood. in some areas. But of course, that's not the right understanding. And what I'm saying is that it is not the right understanding either to think that something different from pure devotional service is what Prabhupada brought us. Right? One time Prahlada Maharaj said in Australia, he said the whole problem in our movement, he said the whole problem of each individual member of this movement is that we don't really understand what Prabhupada has given us. I remember he said it with such conviction. Stayed in many of us, many of our minds. The problem is that we do not understand. I have to admit, I do not understand what Prabhupada has brought us. This pure devotional service is something very rare. It's brought by Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is brought by the sages. In the Srimad Bhagavatam is brought down by Lord Chaitanya. In his pastimes, represented in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and down the Parampara. But the main two teachings of Krishna and his representatives is to preach, to share Krishna consciousness, and to chant Hare Krishna. It comes down to that. I mean, if we want to get derooted and diverted, yeah, we can also do that. There are so many other things that you can. But primarily, Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say, double barrel. What's it called? Double barrel? Yeah, shotgun? Rifle? Yeah, so we have two barrels. One is chanting Hare Krishna, the other one preaching. This is what Prabhupada says. So that is the mood. Now, I know, we may go ahead of ourselves. The questions might be, well, what if I'm not qualified? What if I'm not ready? What if I don't know how to preach? What if I'm la 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 la? So many excuses. Prabhupada explains repeatedly that you just try to support the preaching activities of this Krishna consciousness movement. He says it even before we ask the question. Explains several times in some of his purports. Just try to support. How do you support? That also he says. Right? You can give some Lakshmi. You can give some intelligence, your words, some whatever skills you have to support that. Right? That's Prabhupada's mood. So here we are, reading Srimad Bhagavatam after 37 or so years. Srila Prabhupada disappeared from our material vision. Many of us, or majority of us, I would say here, didn't have the opportunity to see Prabhupada, to hear him directly. However, we also have the opportunity to be conscious of what he wanted, be conscious of his presence, and we can also feel in the proportion that we commit to his mission, his presence in our life. Prabhupada says in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he dedicates the Srimad Bhagavatam to his spiritual master, and then he says he lives with those who follow his instructions. I forgot the exact words. Right? So those who follow Prabhupada's instructions will live with Prabhupada. Right? Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells in his biographies that the ideal when Prabhupada was present was to become a Prabhupada's man. Like that. You know? How can be I, you know, like when we take Prabhupada downstairs, right? And then he comes out from the altar, and then he goes, he follows exactly the same path that he used to follow when he was here. And then, you know, the bell ringing, you see in the video, how Prabhupada will smile, and then all the devotees were jumping up and down, like that. So Prabhupada is here, Prabhupada is present, but as much as we want him to be present, right? So the idea of presenting Bhagavatam it's twofold, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where it is stated, Eka Bhagavata Vada, Bhagavata Shastra. There's one Bhagavata, and that Bhagavata, it's the book Bhagavata. Aro Bhagavata Bhakta. But there's another Bhagavata, the Bhagavat devotee, Bhakti Rasapatra. And that devotee, right, is the one who teaches us how to relish devotional service, how to relish Krishna consciousness. Right? So we follow Prabhupada because of that. Because two things. One, he has shown us with his example how to achieve Krishna consciousness rapidly in some cases, if we apply ourselves to his instruction. And also he has given us Bhagavatam. Right? He translated up to and commented up to the 10th canto, prayers of Lord Brahma. Yeah. Like that. So the idea in these sort of gatherings is that we bring Prabhupada into our midst. Right? That's the idea. That we become very conscious of him. Very conscious of what the Bhagavatam is saying. What am I learning today? What is my question? I'm going to answer that question. I have a whole lifetime. I may have 7 days or less. I don't know. But the point of our endeavor in Krishna consciousness is how well do we answer that question? How do I see Krishna in everything? Jaman Pashyati Sarvatra. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for that one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, and he is never lost to me. Yeah? So that's the whole point of this movement. How to bring Krishna into our life. Not only bring him, but keep him there. You know, we bring Krishna, we buy the deities, we buy the kuntis, the dhotis, the saris, the whole thing. Then after some time we think, this is too much. Let me be a little bit more normal. And then things start diluting like that, you know. Put the deities away, you know, replace it with other things, right? So, back to the point, how can we see Krishna in his external feature? We're talking about material nature, 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And how can we understand him? So one can understand the Supreme Personality. So when we see things as they are, as Krishna says in the Gita, then we can understand things as they are. We first have to see. Yeah? And I know the point here was universal form. I haven't really discussed that much in terms of the universal form. Brings us also back to the Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter. That universal form is unique. Haven't seen before, so we're talking about kind of two different universal forms in a way. But in general, material nature, that's what we're talking about. And the example of Parikshit Maharaj is that he wanted to know more. You know, he wasn't thinking, come on, you know, it's all right, it's enough. You know, it's about time. Cut it off. Okay, ask some questions and get out of here. You know, he wanted to know more. Right? And more, and more, and more. 17,000 verses. Right? Mahabharata, how many thousand verses? 100,000? Etc. I don't know how many verses Chaitanya Charitamrita has. Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses. So, it's not a, you know, 2-3 minutes thing. It's a lifetime. Lifetime in preparation, as one of the chapters of Srila Prabhupada's biography is titled. So, chanting 16 rounds and preaching. If we are doing that, then our dealings with material nature can be considered in the transcendental platform. That's what Srila Prabhupada states. Are not different from the spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Any questions, any points? I can read again the verse if you want to think of something. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudev, who in his subtle form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived. Yes. The microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice lecture. On my way here, I was thinking about this point. How do I know if what is happening now, it's actually Krishna taking some kind of shape and manifesting and speaking through different persons? And how can I know that it's just my karma? But maybe I should not even consider it's karma. Maybe I should always think Krishna is behind everything happening to me and just kind of try to see everything from that point.
So, if you're going through something, how to see that that's Krishna? And it's not just to think what's your karma?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I can't just repeat what I learned from my seniors. Mahatma Prabhu was saying last night, depends on what you want. Depends on what's your motivation. If your motivation, one time I was going through some rough times, and I asked Burijan Prabhu, the same question. This is my karma, I brought it upon myself. I must have done something, I definitely have done something. That much I know. And then I'm paying, so I'm suffering. So then he said, he gave me this very nice instruction, I shall say. He said, write a prayer. He told me, get a pen and a paper, write a prayer to your favorite deity of the Panchatattva, he said, and pray and write it there. Ask him. And in that prayer, you should express what you want. You know, you may understand, you may not understand. That's not so important. But the thing is, what you want in your heart. He told me that. He said, you know, because when we go through troubles, the emotions make us almost irrational. They say in counseling, emotional make you irrational. Like that. So when emotions go out of whack, then we cannot think straight. We don't know. We're just suffering. We're in pain. We don't know where to turn left or right. Arjuna was like that in the beginning. So you don't know. So you pray. No? How's that verse starting? Bhagavad Gita? You were saying? Karpanyado sopahatha swabhava. Arjuna prayed. I don't know what to do. I don't know why I'm in this situation. Please tell me what is best for me. You don't know. You just know that you want to get out of that suffering and what is best for me. We may say it's a limited or a conditioned request because still you are the center. You see? That's something, but maybe more deep or subtle. One, we may say, subtle difference between Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes devotees say, oh, but so much Bhagavad Gita, you know, why don't we go deeper, further, higher, whatever. But actually, Bhagavad Gita is true. It starts from that platform. What is best for me? Arjuna was suffering, right? And he didn't want to suffer. He wanted to kill the Kurus from the beginning because they were so evil. And then he changed into what Krishna wants. You see, but Bhagavatam, it starts differently. What do the sages, why the sages did that jagya, remember? The sages performed that jagya for, say, 1,000 years or so, for the benefit of people in Kali Yuga. So Bhagavatam starts kind of a different line. Not what is best for me, what is best for them. These people are suffering. So that, as Prabhupada presents in his purpose, that's the preaching mood. You know, no, oh, I'm suffering, Krishna, please, me. Give me, give me, give me. Not like Prabhupada used to say. So, I mean, we can change that into what is best for others. Other people are suffering, maybe more than me, surely more than me. Right? So then it changes. You know, the Bhagavatam is about others, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is exclusively about what Lord Krishna wanted. You know? But Lord Krishna's desire was in relationship with the suffering jivas of this material world. So it's like the whole full circle. You know, but we start there. How we see Krishna, you know, by asking the superior. Prabhupada said, using your intelligence. I mean, I'm not saying, don't take offense, I'm just saying in general, in my case, But if we don't have intelligence, we ask someone who has intelligence. Then we ask our superiors. We ask our gurus, senior devotees, friends. Sometimes it doesn't have to be that senior. Just a well-wisher, devotee, well-wisher. And then he may give us an answer, and then somebody else gives an answer. And then finally, after a few years, we thought, oh, they all were right. Sometimes, as Mahatma Prabhu was saying, sometimes even non-devotees tell us things. And then we, you know, that story when Prabhupada had that kind of near heart attack in New York. He had two heart attacks in the boat. He had a stroke in New York, and he had, what do you call it, angina, one of those things. So anyway, so it was a Sunday morning, and, you know, things were closed, so Prabhupada said, bring a doctor. So the devotees went there. It was early in the days. And anyway, they found this drunk doctor. I mean, that's all what they could, you know, they got someone, call him, whatever. They brought him, and he was drunk. I mean, he could smell alcohol. Ramananda Prabhu tells us a story. So he comes, you know, and then he's checking Prabhupada and like that, you know. And then, I mean, you know, Prabhupada was okay, but it seems like, you know, his age, and Prabhupada was working so hard, etc. Anyway, so what the doctor told Prabhupada, you should exercise more. You should, like, walk, I think, go for regular walks or something along those lines. And Prabhupada took Ramananda Prabhu said that after that, Prabhupada took that as Krishna advising him. So, you know, the famous morning walks, thanks to that drunkard doctor, we have the famous morning walks. And Prabhupada, everywhere, he will want to go for a morning walk, preferably through some park or the beach or some forest, something like that, nice. So, like that, we have to see. And we may not have the visions just yet, like we have glasses, so every 2-3 years we have to go back. All those of us, we know we have to go and check our vision, you know, and then they put it up and up and up. So same thing in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, we don't know, then we learn a little more, and then we suffer a little more, and then we see things, and then we suffer a little more, and then we see better and better and better, hopefully. And then one day we understand, yeah, this is how it is. My Guru Maharaj, Javataka Swami, he says that all the sufferings we go through, I ask him, so what is the point of all this, you know, so much suffering, blah. And he says, no. He said, all the sufferings that you go through, it's good because you will help others. So in your preaching, you can help others. You know, I mean, his own example, you know, had two attacks on his life. And then he had a stroke, had a few car accidents. Yeah, he takes it like Krishna's mercy, doesn't complain. So we have to follow that. Mahajana jinagata sapantaha, that's the best word. Arguments may not take us far, but example of great devotees, that will take us far. So we stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gantara Srila Prabhupada ki.